Hello, friends. Pastor Josh here with Olive Tree Ministries, and I'm so thankful for you being willing to join me again for another episode of Understanding the Text. Today, as we work through understanding the text, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verses 28 through 42. What I want to do is read that section, we'll pray, and we'll dive in. There's so much to see today. In our text today, we will see the three pillars that held up the ministry of Jesus. Number one, communion with the Father. Number two, a commitment to spreading the good news. And number three, compassion on the people. So let's dive in and let's read Mark chapter 1, verses 28 through 42. This is what Mark says. Verse 28, at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. And immediately they told him about her. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. At the evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee and preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Let's pray. Father, these are your very words before us, written down centuries ago by a faithful servant named Mark, recounting exactly what was seen by Peter in the ministry of Jesus. This is firsthand eyewitness accounts of things that actually took place with real people in real places in real time. So, Father, as we work through this, help us to see the absolute beauty and glory of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as he proves himself to be who he says he is, the Savior of the world, the God-man who came to transform humanity, to die in our place so that we could have eternal life. Father, go before us, encourage us, and strengthen us with your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, we step into just a very important text in the book of Mark. And what you'll notice in the book of Mark is this word immediately, or euthus, is used often. And it simply just means that immediately, it took place. From the next to the next to the next, things move forward very quickly in the book of Mark. And Mark really wants us to see the jammed-packed ministry of Jesus. He didn't have much time, and he knew it. His time was short on earth. We know historically he had about 3 to 3.5 years of earthly ministry, and he was going to take advantage of every moment that he had to honor and glorify his Father who sent him to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's exactly what we see taking place in our text. In the early verses of Mark chapter 1, specifically verses 28 through 34, we see Jesus's ministry moving quickly. And it's fascinating because remember last week, we were simply just there in the synagogue and we saw Jesus's authority proved when he casts out a demon from a demon-possessed man, and he teaches in the synagogue with authority that they had never seen or understood before. And now we see here in these verses before us that Jesus's fame spreads throughout all Galilee. Everyone is beginning to hear that this man can cast out demons, that this man teaches with authority, and even the nature obeys him. We'll see that specifically in how he interacts with Peter's mother-in-law. But his verse 28 tells us that the whole region, all the surrounding region around Galilee, began to see and hear about this man, Jesus. And as they leave the synagogue, we jump in verse 29. Mark 1:29 says that they went to Simon's house, Simon and Andrew's house, and James and John were with him. These are the four, remember, that he had just called to ministry just maybe a day or so earlier from around the Sea of Galilee. And verse 30 says this, "Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they," that's Simon and Andrew and James and John, "tell him about her." They tell Jesus about his mother-in-law who has a fever. And what does Jesus do? Jesus is moved with compassion and he acts immediately here with Peter's mother-in-law. It says this, he came to her, verse 31, and he took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her and she began to serve him. Now, there's a couple of things I want to pull out of this to see the beauty of this text. Number one, this. Jesus's authority is not constrained just by how he teaches, and it's not constrained just to the demonic realm. Even the natural realm obeys the authority of Jesus. He lifts her up by the hand, and immediately she's healed. Immediately, the fever leaves her. Now, I know I've had a fever before, and I'm sure you've had a fever before. It's not fun to be sick. It is miserable to be sick. But could you imagine having a fever and being ill, bedridden in the ancient times, in the times of Jesus, how miserable that would have been? And yet this woman is suffering with this sickness, this fever. We don't know for how long. We don't know if it's just a cold that she's had for the day or if it's been many days that she's been sick with this. But Jesus interacts with her. And like we learned last week, you walk away from Jesus transformed, changed. Your interaction with Jesus changes you. This lady interacts with Jesus and she's transformed. Her fever leaves her immediately. And she gets up and look at her reaction to what had just happened to her. She gets up and she begins to serve them. That's amazing. This woman is transformed by Jesus. She interacts with him. She's healed by him. And the fever leaves her and she serves him. Friends, this is how we should respond to our interactions with Jesus. When he transforms your life, as he has done for mine, we should be driven immediately out of gratitude for that transformation to serve him, to love him, to honor him, and to glorify him. And then we move on from there. Jesus doesn't stop. Look at what verse 32 says. In Mark 1:32, we pick up by saying that evening, the very evening after Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, at sundown, they, that is the townspeople, the people of Capernaum, brought to him, Jesus, all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus doesn't stop. He teaches in the synagogue. He teaches with authority. He casts out the demon in the synagogue. He goes to rest at Peter's house, but his mother is ill. He immediately heals her. And then that evening, all the townspeople start bringing those who are oppressed by demons, those who are sick, those who need help of Jesus to the door of Peter's house there in Capernaum. And he heals many and he casts out many demons. Jesus doesn't stop. And this is literally, as we've seen it in the book of Mark, this is the first day of his public ministry. He is bombarded by people continually coming to him, continually wanting a piece of him. And yet they do not know at this point. that he is the savior of the world, the creator. But they do recognize something has changed. And this is it, friend. The king has entered his kingdom, the kingdom that he created, and nothing is going to be the same again. He has authority because he is the author, the creator of all things. And everything from these moments forward changes because Jesus, the God-man, has stepped into the scene. Well, let's continue on and see exactly what takes place in the rest of Mark chapter 1. Verse 35 tells us this. The next day, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Let's stop here for a moment. Jesus just had all of these miraculous encounters, all of these great things happening the previous day with casting out demons, healing many, and teaching with authority. And now, this is where the rubber hits the road. Jesus has a deep commitment to what he's been called to do by his Father in going and ministering for this time in Capernaum of Galilee. But he knew that he wasn't going to be able to do this on his own humanly power. He needed to commune with his Father. And so that's what he does. Before the sun even comes up that next day, he gets up early in the morning. And he goes off to a desolate place, a place where no one is, outside of town, probably up the hill a ways away from the town of Capernaum, overlooking maybe the Sea of Galilee. And what does he do? He prays. Now, we're not told what Jesus prays for. We're not told exactly how the prayers went, but we can assume that he prays for his disciples, those whom he has chosen to do ministry with him. We can assume that he's prayed for the people that he had the encounters with the day before. We can assume that he is praying for the ministry in the days to come. And we can assume that he would pray that he would glorify his Father in all things, that the Father would be pleased with him day by day, moment by moment, as he serves him. Now, I want you to notice this. If something is a priority in our lives, we're going to do whatever it takes to do that thing. And we see here that Jesus's commitment to communion with his Father is a priority in his life. Why? Because he gets up early in the morning. The first thing he does is he communes with the Father because he knows he needs that relationship, that intimacy with his Father God to support him throughout his ministry. Now, friend, the question is this. If something is a priority in your life, you're going to do whatever it takes to do that thing. You're going to get up early to get more done. You're going to get up early to work out. You're going to order your time according to what you want to do, whatever day of the week it is. My question is this: will you order your time to commune with the Lord? Will you set aside extra time every day as a priority to be in God's word, to commune with him through his word, and to commune with him through prayer? This is what Jesus does. He sets the standard for us. Ministry has gone great, and he sets aside extra time in the morning intentionally before everything else happens, before the hustle and bustle of the day begins, to commune with his Father. I challenge you to do that. This is the beginning of a new year. I would encourage you, set aside specific intentional time every single day as a priority to commune with God, your Father, to be filled with him before you fill the rest of your time, and see what happens. Set aside time for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, and see what the Lord does. And you'll see that you'll yearn for more and more time with the Lord, because Jesus is setting the example here. He has a deep desire to commune with the Lord. And as he continues on, it says this in verse 36, "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone's looking for you.'" Yeah, Jesus had gone away. He had moved from Simon's house where he had probably slept the night before. He disappeared. They thought that he left, but they find him up on the hill praying to the Lord. And they said, "Everyone's looking for you." And what is Jesus's response? He says this in verse 38. He said this, "Let's go. Let's go to the next town so that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." God sent him to preach, to minister to those who were lost, to those who were sick, to those who needed healing, to those who needed a demon cast out. And Jesus knew it. He knew why he had come. He knew that he was coming to minister, but he knew ultimately that he was coming to give his life as a ransom for many. And he says this, let's go. Let's go all around Galilee. Let's get out of Capernaum. Let's go everywhere else so that others can be ministered to also. And verse 39 is kind of a broad statement that maybe takes up a number of weeks in the grand scheme of the ministry of Jesus. Verse 39 says this, and he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out the demons. This moves us on to that second pillar of the ministry of Jesus. He had a desire, a commitment to share the gospel, to share the good news, to minister to those who were lost in the surrounding region to where he was sent. And that's what he does. He goes all throughout the region of Galilee. He casts out demons. He heals many. This is what we're going to see in the upcoming chapters of the book of Mark, is the ministry of Jesus in the area of Galilee. He has a deep-seated heart to share the good news, to minister to those who are hurting. And it's beautiful that he is focused on that. He's communing with the Lord, and then he is recharged through that communion to go out and to proclaim this gospel of the kingdom, that he is there to set the captives free. And then lastly, here in the latter paragraph of this chapter, verses 40 and following, we see Jesus' deep-seated compassion for those who are hurting. Now, we don't know exactly where this takes place or when this takes place, but we do know that it takes place. And this is what Mark writes, beginning in Mark 1, verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, he, that is Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "The leper, I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Friends, this is where we see the heart of Jesus, the deep-seated, gut-wrenching compassion that the Creator has on creation. Now, leprosy was a horrible disease. It still is a horrible disease, but in the ancient times, when they didn't understand what it truly was, it was a ferocious, fearful, and feared disease. Leprosy is a disease that literally dissolves your skin from the inside out. And this man, who was a leper, there were all kinds of different rules on him, that he couldn't be in community with others who were non-leprous because they were afraid that the leprosy from this man, if someone else touched him or he touched them, that leprosy would spread. And so this is a dangerous, horrific, scary disease in ancient times. And so they would cast people to the outside of the cities and count them away so that the rest of the normal people wouldn't be affected. But this man, probably hearing about Jesus and the ministry that was taking place in and around Galilee, hears that Jesus is in his region, and he rushes to Jesus, falls at his feet, and implores him, kneeling at him, saying, "Help me." He says, "I know that you can make me clean if you will." He knew Jesus' healing power. And he had a faith that drove him to the feet of Jesus, imploring him, begging him to heal him. And here we see that Jesus is moved with pity, or moved with a deep, gut-wrenching compassion on this man. And what does he say? He says, "I will be clean." In four words, with the touch of his hand, Jesus heals this man completely. Now, I don't know if when it took place, if he immediately was healed in the sense that everything was perfect in an instant, or if maybe his body slowly regenerated itself. Like, just imagine with me for a second that this man's hand, his fingers had started falling off because of the leprosy, which is a normal occurrence. maybe as Jesus touched this man, the fingers started to grow back from nubs to full fingers because of the transforming power and compassion that Jesus had on him. Maybe, just maybe, the crowd around got to see this man who was once disfigured fully and perfectly reconstituted as a normal human being. Friends, this is a picture of what happens to you and me. When we fall at the feet of Jesus saying, I know that you are the Savior. I know that you are the Lord. I know that you are the God of all creation who came to restore humanity to a perfect relationship with God. This is what happens to us. We are regenerated. Our souls are purchased and made right with that holy God. And this picture of this leper here at the end of Mark chapter 1 shows us exactly what happens when you interact with Jesus. When you call out to Jesus by faith, he transforms you. He rescues your needy soul. And he transfers you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And this, friends, is why he is deserving of all honor and glory and adoration and worship. This, friends, is why it is so important to structure our life with a commitment towards communion with our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, because he is worthy, because he has purchased us, because he has transformed us, and because he has guaranteed that we will have everlasting life with him. Oh, I can't wait to continue to journey through this book with you and all the other books that we'll deal with, because what we'll see is the absolute worth of Jesus to be worshiped and the glory to be given to God the Father of all things. Until next time, friends.